Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this morning's talk in the Windows 8 track on building Metro-style apps with HTML and JavaScript. My name is Michael Platt. I'm the Senior Director in Microsoft Corporation over in Redmond. What I'm going to be doing today is I'm going to be talking about how you can use your web development skills and your web experience and take that and move that across to develop Metro-style applications. That is how you take your understanding and knowledge about HTML and the HTML tools and JavaScript and Visual Studio and use that understanding to go and build applications using those tools and those languages inside Metro. The important message I want you to take away from this morning is that with the knowledge and the understanding, the skills you have, you can go and build Metro-style apps very easily and very simply today. And that's what Microsoft intends to help you do. We believe that web development's probably the number one priority. HTML5 in particular is the number one priority. Yesterday, I talked a little bit about the three languages and the two UIs that Microsoft is supporting as strategic. Actually, whilst they're all strategic, we actually believe the web is probably the most important. So we're certainly putting most, if not most, more development effort into HTML and JavaScript and the others. And that means that we hope to make it much easier for you, and we will continue to make it easier for you to build your web applications both on the web and in Metro. Now, I'm going to be talking mainly about Metro today, but most of it is actually applicable for doing standard web development. There's an interesting synergy between the two, between the web and the application space. There are some things that are better in the application space. There are some things that are better on the web. What we're trying to do is bring those two things as close together as possible. There are some areas where we've had to make some changes to both ends, and I'll talk about those as we go through. So you've already seen this diagram a number of times. You saw it yesterday. And basically, this is what Windows 8 looks like today. We have the standard desktop applications, obviously, the Metro-style applications on the left. What we're going to be talking about today is the HTML and JavaScript section. Clearly, today, on the desktop, that actually runs on top of IE, using the IE rendering engine, the tabs engine in IE, and obviously works against Windows Core OS services. We've done a lot of work with IE10, which is the browser technology in Windows 8, to make sure that you have the best experience, even from today's browser. We actually have made the browser work as closely as possible to the hardware. We've built a new JavaScript engine which goes and does the maximum work in the hardware. We have hardware acceleration as part of our engine, and I'll show you what that means in terms of performance. So that's where we are today with IE10. Talk a little bit more detail about IE10. But really, most of today's focus is going to be on HTML and HTML5 and JavaScript in the application space. So that's taking, actually, you can take pretty much an application that you've built today on the web and move it across very simply to be a Metro-style application. I'll show you some more of that. We're also building a whole series of libraries as well that you can actually use so that it actually makes it much easier for you to build web-based applications or HTML-based applications in Metro. Clearly, those libraries won't necessarily work on the web, right? So you know, that's a bit of a one-way street, but it does make it much easier to build Metro-style applications. And I'll be driving into those, I'll be showing you some code and having a look at how that works internally. Of course, all this in the Metro side of things, all of this sits on top of the Windows 8 runtime, WinRT, which means you have the ability to use all the standard communications and data, the graphics, the media, and all those sort of facilities. As I say, we're providing a set of libraries for this, and I'll be talking about in more detail about how you can use WinRT from JavaScript through those libraries. We call it those libraries WinJS. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about HTML and where Microsoft is with HTML5. We are really committed to HTML and HTML5 and the standards bodies to make sure that we meet as much as we can. So what we've been doing in the last couple of years is getting our our browser platform closer and closer to the HTML5 spec. So this is a list of some of the things that we've put into the browser at IE9. That's the one on Windows 7 today. These are the things from the HTML5 spec that we've put into the browser today. Okay? The key thing to take away about this is that not only have we supported all these elements of HTML5, but we've also hardware accelerated them. So if you use our browser, then anything using these elements will go much faster because it goes straight to the hardware. So that's what we've done so far in IE9. In IE10, which is what's in Windows 8, we've continued with the hardware acceleration and we've added some more things. And then we've added a whole load of new elements to HTML5. And this, the ones highlighted here, are some of the things that we've put in. Now, why are we doing this? Why are we putting some of these new things into HTML5? The reason is very, very simple. And that is when you start to build an application, specifically when you start to build a touch application, you find that many parts of the standard HTML5 spec don't have the support you need. So, for instance, multi-touch. There's nothing in the specifications today about multi-touch, but clearly if you're using a tablet, you need multi-touch. So we've had to put that sort of functionality back in to HTML, and we've taken that back to the standards body, to the W3C, and we said to the W3C, please will you ratify this as part of the HTML5 standard. And you can see this is a number of the things that we've had to do. Some of them we've actually had to do because of the whole area of touch and the tablet. Some we've had to do because we actually, many of our developers, such as yourselves, come from an enterprise background. You're used to building enterprise-style applications. You're used to having applications that can do forms validation, that have lists, have grids, and those sort of functionality. Again, that's not in HTML5 today. So we've added those things in for the enterprise developers who expect to be able to do a grid, and we've then taken that back to ask to be part of the standard. So that's why we've made a number of changes. I would love to say to you, HTML5 is the standard, it's the end of the road for the web. Unfortunately, all the time that the web is used for more things, it's used for enterprise more, it's used on touch devices, it's used on other devices, unfortunately, as that happens, we will still require more from the web, both us and other browser vendors, and so we will have to continue to change what is in HTML, right? So it's not that we're not trying to break standards or anything like that. What we're here to do is our position is we need some of these things, and we will take them back to get them ratified by the standards body so that we can all use touch, for instance. Okay, so also in CSS3 we've added a number of things, and I've talked a little bit already about why we've had to put these things in. 2D and 3D transforms. A lot of the effects you see require 2D and 3D transforms, especially in games. So we've had to put those things in. One of my responsibilities is actually for games and gaming, and it's quite interesting because, of course, 2D and 3D is actually very important in that space, especially when you're working straight with the hardware. So you very quickly find that you need some of that functionality. I'll talk about it in more detail. Motion and animation. This is an important one. Again, people expect to see fluid type activity on the screen. If you've seen Windows 8, you'll see it bounces when it gets to the end of the line. We need to have animation to do that. We need animation libraries to do that. We need animation support. We need that in HTML5 as well. And I'll talk a bit more about that at the whole motion, animation, and transitions type support. I've already mentioned layout for grids. graphics. Again, as you do, especially as you do gaming, you need better and better graphics support. And then finally, you need content flow. So if you're doing something like a newspaper, you really need to be able to do flowing of the text from one line to the next, pagination, that sort of thing. Right? And today, the web doesn't support that. We've added that into CSS3. So if you go and have a look at, for instance, the Telegraph or the MSNBC sites, you'll see they're using that flowing quite heavily. And as it says here, we actually get as close to the metal as we can, we put hardware acceleration, makes it fast as possible. Okay, so let's go and have a look at some of the CSS3 straight away. But this is actually, I'm running this in a browser. Okay, so this is just a browser page, actually on our hands-on labs. And you can see here that I can actually take any of the elements of this particular box and I can change it around in 3D. I can translate it, rotate it, scale it. Even if I get this right, go and have a look back. Okay? Now, this is actually the code down at the bottom here that does that. As you can see, as I move the actual graphic here, you can see it's changing the parameters passed into the style. So, very, very simple. You can see it's just three lines in here. The minute the MS underscore at the beginning means it's one of Microsoft's XCSS3 tags, but you can see that it's actually, to use, it's very, very simple, gives a lot of flexibility, gives a very powerful sort of look and feel. And as I say, that's running today, standard in the browser, and then you can use exactly the same thing inside Matter as well. Okay, so I talked a little bit about the graphics side of HTML5. There's also a number of things that we need to do that we need to bring to the web as well in order to support Metro. So things like WebSockets, Web Workers, IndexedDB is a storage system, of course. We support ECMAScript 5 as well. Geolocation, the talk just before this was about sensors. Sensors and geolocation are incredibly important to applications. Again, they're not part of the HTML5 standard, so we've had to put those in. Audio and video as well. And we have Canvas, of course, we have and we have graphics, video tags, but we've had to add in additional areas to that. One of the people I work with actually works on smooth streaming, and it's actually a really complex area to get the media pipelines and all the smooth streaming elements and codecs together. It's actually very complicated. It's easy to put up the tags, a lot of work to put all the other stuff in underneath, so we've had to do a lot of work in that space. I think I've already talked about touch, for instance, you know, pointer events. It's easy to just map a mouse cursor to a single point touch, but you need to do that with multi-point, so we need to put that in. We need to be able to support zooming and snapping, that sort of activity. Again, all these are things we've put in to HTML, and of course spell checking as well. This is Windows, our users expect to be able to do spell checking in the page itself, so we've had to add that in. So that's where we are with HTML5. Let me show you quickly some of the elements of HTML5 we have. Okay, so for instance, I talked about grids and forms, and this is an HTML5 form. You can see here, it's a very standard type of form that enterprise developers are well used to. And today, of course, if you actually want to do this, you have to write a lot of JavaScript, or you have to round trip. You need to do some field validation. You don't want people to put the whole thing in without doing validation. And this is what we provide as part of the HTML5 standard to do this validation. So we just change a couple of fields in here. You can see it straight away pops up in the browser. It's a required field. And you know, you can go through all the can have list boxes, drop-down boxes, so on and so forth. So you can see it's very easy to put a whole load of stuff in here. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole lot, but it gives you an idea. So the point here is you can build very standard web pages which do field validation inside the browser. You don't have to go backwards and forwards trying to get things to work. Okay, one other demonstration I just want to show. Is the whole area of particles and animation and motion. Talked a little bit earlier about what we're doing in terms of motion and animation. This is an example, again, all browser-based, and I can touch, and I can get some very nice effects. You can see like this. Now that, you can do that with mapping a cursor, of course, but you can't do it if you can't do this. This is two fields, it's two fingers, multi-touch, against the screen. So it gives you an idea, again, of the sort of functionality that we put into HTML5. Okay, so I've talked a bit about, let's say, the standards, HTML5, CSS, JavaScript. What are we doing in terms of tooling? I'm not going to talk about it anymore. And by the way, all that stuff works both on the web and in Metro, right? So you can assume that's all going to work on the web in IE. It's also going to work in the browser as well. So that, as I say, will just work. So that's no problem. Now, next thing is, okay, so how do we build all this stuff? We need to support, provide tools both for the web and also tools for the Metro style. And this is where we sort of get into some things are better on the web, some things are not, and so on. But the tools are all general purpose tools. So to start off with, in terms of tools, of course, we have Visual Studio Blend. Hands up here who's used Blend. Not too many designers in the audience there. I hasten to add, I'm not a designer. So you're going to see me, you know, struggling with with the design surface now. But I just want to show you what we've provided today. So the key thing to take away is we've had Blend for a while. It's our design surface for HTML. And it's been out for a while. But what we've done is we've taken it and we've integrated it very heavily with Visual Studio. And we will continue to do that. So although they're two separate products, actually, they work together very closely, right? Which gives you a very interesting use both in Visual Studio and also in Blend. So for instance, and I showed this yesterday, in Visual Studio, you're able to pull in the screen itself as you're designing it. You're able to see what's on the screen as you design that. Similarly, in Blend, you can do a lot of runtime type functionality in Blend itself because it's using the Visual Studio engines. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch across now. And this is Blend. This is Blend Express Edition, free. You know. So again, wherever possible, we're giving entry point tools free. And you can see it allows you to go and take a page like this and go and look at any particular element on the page and go and drill down into the actual DOM on that, look at the various elements, manipulate the elements, change them, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not going to change them because this is actually a live application, so we're not going to go there because I'll probably fail my application if I do that. Okay, so that gives you an idea of some of the things you can do with Blend. Now, actually, Blend also, as I said earlier, allows you to go and interact with the application. Before I do that, what I want to do is I actually want to show you what this little application is. So this is a demonstration application. Is this one here? Okay. This is the same page actually as the application. It's actually the cookbook application. And basically, this is a standard Metro application. So this is running as a Metro application. And you can see, you know, you can scroll through a list of elements and so on and so forth. Now, a couple of points I want to make about this particular application. First of all, it's actually a very simple application. It's actually part of a hands-on lab we have. It takes about half a day to build this application. So it's a very simple application. It uses the templating inside Visual Studio very heavily. The second thing I want to talk about in this application is that it's actually completely data-driven. Okay? So all this is just is actually a script that's running. What it's doing is it's pulling all the images and all the text and everything else you see from there out of the file system. So it's a completely data-driven application. I'll show you the code in a little while, but you can see the code. There's no data in the code. Okay, so it makes it very easy to change this particular application, and it's important so that I can point out some of the ways this application works later on. Okay, so a couple of things I want you to notice because I'm going to show you how to program these is, in order to give the sort of effects you expect in Metro, you need to be able to do the sort of animations I'm talking about. So if I click on one of these, you'll see it slides in gently from the right. Okay, that is an animation transition. A lot of script programming can do that. We provide all that for you, and I will show you some of that later on. This is, you know, this is fairly simple stuff. It's inside the application itself. This application actually has a number of different facilities it provides. So if you're going to have a look at the charms, for instance, okay, and we have a look at the settings in the charms. Obviously, we have about. This application actually has the ability to use our store to do online upgrades. So you can do trialing with this, for instance. Here's an upgrade to the full. You can upgrade the whole thing to the full version using the facilities in the store. And again, I'll show you the code for this later on. It actually allows you to do it within the application as well. Let's go and show you that just for fun. Okay, so for instance, you could actually sell individual recipes. So this Italian wedding suit, for instance, you can see here, you have to go, you can actually go and purchase that in application. So you can do in application sales, all those sort of things as part of the store. I'll show you how to do that in the programming in a little while. So one of the other things I wanted to show on the charms and the settings. Obviously there's a set of preferences that you can program in. And again, I'll show you the code for this. Now, typically you don't need to know your location, for instance, when you're using a cookbook, right? Most people cook in a kitchen. But just as an example, I will show you how you can save the location settings, which I think you probably would have seen in the previous talk on how to work with location. And you can actually then use the libraries to go and do that. And I'll show you that in a moment. Okay. And then finally, again, we talked a little yesterday about the whole concept of allowing people to do certain things, saying what the application is going to do, and you can see here that this application allows notifications, it allows webcams, and so on and so forth. It also has permissions to use your internet connection. So you can program into your application all these permissions. It's automatically set up by Windows and Windows RT. So it gives you an idea of some of the things on there. We just show you the task bar down, the application bar down the bottom. Of course, it has an application bar. You can do things like pin recipes. You can take pictures, do reminders, all this sort of stuff. So there's a whole load of things in here I just want to show you because we're going to look at the code behind this. Again, I want to show you how simple it is to do this sort of application. The whole hands-on lab is a day. I mean, you can build the whole thing in a day, to give you an idea. So it's very, very simple, very easy. All right, so we've had a look at the Contoso application, and you've seen how you can program that, how you can do the design for that in Blend. Okay, and here it is. Here's that design, that front page design. Now, say I'm designing and I actually don't want to do the front page, I actually want to go down below in this. Well, what we've provided, an interactive mode. Okay, and in the interactive mode, we go out to Visual Studio, we start running the code, okay, and you actually then go in and you can go and click on the application itself, just as if the application is really running, but it's still inside Blend, right? So now you're inside Blend, you've navigated through to where you want to go as a designer, you can then turn the interactive mode off, and again, you then go straight back into the designer, you can have a look at the elements inside the page itself. You know, you can select a particular element, you can drill down on what that element is, you can see what the attributes are, what the properties are, you can see which properties have won out of all the different properties that accrue to this particular element, and you can go and modify that. So yeah, I'm not a designer, let's give it a go. Let's change the background of this button here, right? So it's very, very simple. You can navigate to exactly where you want. You can see exactly what's going on. You have a DOM Explorer. You can see what's overlaying what. And then you can go and actually just pick it up and change it on the screen. So it gives you a quick overview of Blend and some of the things inside Blend. Again, one of the key things that isn't in the application itself is this is Blend Express. It's a beta level mode, and it's all free. So it's a very, very attractive price point. I'm not going to save that because it will fail my application if I do that, so we'll come out of that. And let's just switch back now to the slides. Alright, so we've talked about the design side of things, we've talked about the design tools, and I showed you a quick application which is using that and using those elements. But I also showed a whole lot of things that you just can't do today in HTML. JavaScript, or you can, but they're a lot of work. You have to write a lot of JavaScript to make it happen. So what we're doing is we're providing a set of libraries called WinJS. WinJS is basically a set of controls, libraries, which allow you to do all this sort of additional functionality that you expect when you can work with a real operating system but do that straight from JavaScript and do it very simply. So obviously you can make your applications look good. I've shown you some of the animations, the sort of things you can do. Those are all done. Again, we provide controls for common user experiences. So things like the app bar, we have a control for that, so you don't have to go and program that all yourself. It's already in there. It's designed for touch to stay there. And also, these libraries actually scale. So one of the things we have to do with Windows, which perhaps other people don't have to do on other tablets, or that's less successful at doing, is we have to support a large number of orientations as you turn the tablets around, and form factors. So you obviously can go from a very small tablet up to a huge screen. We need to have the support in for all those different form factors. And if you use these libraries, then the libraries are built so they understand the size of the screen they're going to run on and actually scale correctly, right? Okay? And then the second side of things is, you know, it allows you to use what you know today, standard web technologies, but actually build things really quickly. You know, very complex applications really quickly, such as the Contoso application I showed you earlier on. And it also, as I say, allows us to use the design tools that I showed you as well. Okay? So this is what's inside WinJS. These are the areas, the elements that we're providing. Obviously, helpers for namespaces. The data definition I showed you earlier is where we have the whole application is run from data. It comes under that. Promises. We talked briefly yesterday about the importance of asynchronous in Metro programming, and promises are the JavaScript equivalent that provide that. If you're running jQuery or Dojo today, then you'll be familiar with promises. So it's a fairly well understood model for asynchronicity on the web. Application model. We're using the standard Meta application model, so we're providing all the things you need for that. Navigation, again, the navigation controls, page user controls, data binding controls, all those sort of things are all part of WinJS. And then animations, talked about that. We provide the templates, utilities, things going through underneath the load. So I can show you a lot of these things actually in the code. It's probably more interesting. This is the actual cookbook, which I've already showed you. Do the demos in quite the right order. But I've shown you already the cookbook itself and the sort of effects you can get using JavaScript and JS. Okay, so let's go back now. Now I've shown you the application, let me go back and show you some of the code and some of the things that we're providing, right? So this is actually the application, the Contoso application running here, and what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start it. I've got a breakpoint set so I can run through to show you some things. So here comes the application, the page comes up. And it hits the breakpoint, right? Now the first thing is that one of the nice things in the web is that there are a lot of tools in the browser today to do debug. Okay, we're all familiar with going into our favorite browsers and doing debug of our JavaScript. We've actually provided that functionality back here into Visual Studio as well. So now you can do exactly that, the sort of debugging that you used to do actually in the browser, and actually do it in the design tool itself. So we provided this JavaScript console, for instance, down the bottom here, and this allows me to type anything I like in into the application at runtime, and it will actually then go and work, right? First thing I want to show you is something very simple, and that's actually just... Windows itself. So this is the Windows namespace that we're actually providing. Okay, so this is all of the Windows runtime, WinRT, and these are all the objects that we're providing for you so you can use them. You can see here, you know, there's the application model again I talked about, the data, the device model, so we can drill down, for instance, and we can have a look at geolocation. Okay, these are all there for you. These are all built as part of WinRT. You just go and pick them up and run with them. And of course, it also means that you can what I'm actually doing is executing this as JavaScript at the moment in this console. I can show you whatever's in there, but I can also, go and type real statements into this space as well. So if you'll bear with my typing for a second, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to write a little hello world in here, which actually will pop up in the middle of the application. So I've got the application at a breakpoint, it's stopped. I'm now going to go and actually execute some code inside that, just type it in. Now, a couple of things. First of all, JavaScript running inside the inside Visual Studio, as it is at the moment, because we have this full namespace, this full object model underneath it, we can run IntelliSense. So if I'm actually typing into the design surface, then I get full IntelliSense features. It actually doesn't work in the console itself, of course, because the console's actually now running outside the design surface. So IntelliSense doesn't work at this point, but I just want to point out that it actually does work if you're typing it into the design itself. So, what I'm going to do... So I'm just going to use my Windows namespace. And I'm going to put up go to the UI, pop-ups. So no IntelliSense, I've actually got to get this right. Okay, and then we'll just display that. Thank you. I can't type, stand up, and talk at the same time, so thank you very much for that. If anybody else wants any typos, let me do tell me. Okay, so. What I've done here is literally just put up a little text message, okay, and it'll actually run as part of my runtime. Whoops, I've done something wrong here. It should be capital P. New Windows UI pop-up message dialog. Okay, well, that done. Didn't like pop-up. So say, much easier with the IntelliSense, right? Okay, so now if I continue with this, okay, and what happens is it obviously goes back, actually inserts that piece of code into the application itself, from the breakpoint, puts up my little text boxes, the application running underneath, puts up the text box, with a closed statement on the end of it. So what I've done here is I've inserted some code in here. So it means that if you're actually trying to test something out, and I wouldn't recommend it, you know, for general use, but if you're trying to test something out, this is a really handy way of just putting things into the application to make sure the application works. Okay, so... So this again is my application itself, and I've showed you the JavaScript console on here. One of the other things I want to show you in here is the whole area of the DOM Explorer. It's still running now. Just try it one more time. Okay, that is not working. like working as a what I wanted to show you, and it's not just that you're working at the moment, I probably mistyped something, is actually the facilities that you have in Blend in terms of looking through the DOM. You can actually also do as part of Visual Studio as well there, so you can bring in the DOM Explorer and actually then go and have a look through all the information you have in Blend as well, right? So you can go and explore through the whole of the model. Finally, I just want to show some actual elements of the code that I demonstrated earlier. So let's go and... Okay, so what I've got here is I've got a whole load of elements I just wanted to show to you as part of the code. Give myself a little space. So this here is actually the data binding. So I talked earlier about how WinJS provides the ability to bind straight to the data. So all this whole application actually just runs as a set of programs. There's no information. The information's all been pulling in from the file system. But you can see this is being done through these data controls and binding controls here. The second thing, which I actually forgot to show you as part of the demonstration, is the whole area of semantic zoom. Semantic zoom is where you can make the application get larger and smaller. And you can actually do that with just this list view, zoomed in and zoomed out list view. And the WinJS will actually then take control of everything for you and actually provide that whole full zoomed experience. Actually, I will show you semantic zoom on this because it is worth seeing. I'll also notice, I'll talk in a moment about this as well, also notice that this has actually got notifications in this application. I'll show you how the notifications work too. Okay, so we go into the application itself. Oh, I've stopped it. Better? Okay, so what I can do... or not. This is a resistive touch screen, so it doesn't work very well. It's not a demo day, is it? Semantic zoom is not working. My apologies. It's definitely not my day, right? Anyway, this is the code behind the thing that I couldn't get to work in the demonstration, right? So this is actually, again, how you do zoom in and zoom out on semantic zoom. Again, very, very simple, just a couple of lines of code, right? I showed you very quickly the notification side of things. And again, here we have the actual notification code. You saw the little notification badge coming up. And we're actually doing this by pushing this pick back out to the Windows Notification Services on the back end. So we go back out, we ask for a notification, and that comes in, and it comes up as a badge on the tile itself. Again, very simple. You just pull this push notifications on the channel manager. Okay, you have to pass it on the URI, of course, where it's going to go back to, and that's pretty much all there is to that. Suspending. So I showed that location element earlier on, where you can say, I've saved my location. That obviously means what I'm doing is I'm saving a whole load of information. When a Mentor application goes into suspend mode, we actually inform the application that it's going to go into suspend mode, right? And at that point, you're going to then go and save up any information that you think is relevant. As I say, this particular application saved its location. So here, this is what gets called when we go into suspend mode, and you can see it's just two lines really to save into your roaming settings your location. These settings get sent back up into Windows Live. Other applications can pull them down. So it allows you not only to save the information for this application, but it means it actually allows you to roam those settings anywhere else as well. So again, just two lines of code. This is because WinJS behind all this is providing all the functionality you need. Another one I showed you when we went into the application, I showed you the transition effect. Again, quite complex to program that yourself. You can see here that we've actually provided that, again, as part of the library, WinJS UI animation. When you go to the page, we actually allow you, we say we use the standard animation, and then you'll get the Metro look and feel in terms of the animation. One of the things I didn't show you, and I probably haven't got time now, is the ability to share information between between different applications. So this application can take recipes, for instance, and share them with other applications as well, using the share charm that we've seen previously. You can actually share information then through to other things. We'll try this. You'll see the notifications keep going up on that. So if we pick a particular recipe, say this Chinese salad recipe, and we continue. Okay, what we can do is we go into the settings, go into the charm bar, and we can go on share, and we can say what we want to share with, which we're going to share in the mail application. Kicks up off the mail application comes up, and it puts into the mail application whatever the cooking application wanted to share. So, and you can see, you then get the text in your mail application, you can then send that to somebody. So if we go and have a look at the code for that, you can see here, we set up ourselves, you know, as a listener, and also as a sharer, and then we give the what we're actually going to share here. This is actually coming from the text file itself, and then we just pass it off, and it gets shared to the mail application. Literally, just two lines of code really for the whole thing. Very, very simple. Search. Let's have a look at search as well. So within the application, we can go and search for various elements. Let's turn that off, right? So we've provided this ability to do search, and you can actually search across applications and within applications. So I can type for salt and pepper. Let's try salt because I know it works. Okay, and you can see it goes in here. Okay, and it comes back with all the various recipes, which include salt. So you've actually searched through your application. And if, as I say, if we go and have a look at the search code, it's really very simple. It's the share. It's the search. Here we are. Contracts share here, right? So all we're doing is asking for the titles coming back. So, is she worth the data? And then finally, one of the things I wanted to show you was the whole area of toasts and pop-ups. I haven't shown you that. You can see the little button coming up earlier on my badge, and that can then drive into a toast. And again, you can see we just use the toast notification manager to go through and call out to that. So. The point here is I'm not trying to teach you each individual element. What I'm trying to show you here is that really with two or three lines, you can actually do a lot of this functionality very, very simply, very, very easily. Of course, you may actually want to use your own libraries as well as WinJS. You know, we would ask you to try and meet the Metro type style. Understanding the sandboxing model, but you can actually use jQuery or anything like that as well. It's not a problem. There are some elements of jQuery that don't work, which you have to work around, and we've got guidance on actually how to make that work. But it is actually fairly easy to use your own particular libraries as well. As I say, please try and make sure you use our own, the Metro style when you're building your applications. Okay, so that's about it. And as I said, the thing I want you to take away from this is that if you know HTML and JavaScript today, you can go and obviously build those applications on the web as is, but you can also go and use that, those skills to actually build Metro style applications. And with WinJS, we provide you a lot of controls, a lot of functionality that give you the Metro look and feel with actually having to do very, very little work on your part. So hopefully, and of course on top of that, we provide you the tool suite, the free tool suite, to go and actually build those things as well. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a good rest of the conference. I'll be around if anybody has any questions. Thank you.